Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Chipper is here, and tonight is the night when the Vikings are in the playoffs. No, not in Southern California. We're just looking again at the footage right now, Chip, on the networks. Absolutely terrifying what is taking place, and now with the winds intensifying, 30 to 40 mile per hour winds tomorrow, and then maybe 50 to 60 mile per hour winds on Wednesday in L.A. So the decision was made, rightfully so, to have this game in Arizona, the Vikings and Rams. The Vikings coming off the loss to Detroit. They also lost to the Rams earlier in the year on a Thursday. So I'm going to pose this question to you. Is tonight more important for the near future or the long-term future when I'm talking about Sam Darnold? If Sam Darnold plays like he did against the Green Bay Packers, I don't think there's any scenario where they don't at least franchise him. And all of a sudden, now they go to Philly, and I know Philly won, and I'm aware. I've watched them all. They've traveled to Philly three times before in the playoffs, and they've lost all decisively. But I wasn't overwhelmed by the Eagles yesterday. I didn't think, man, no, the Vikings can't hang with them. So, I mean, you could be looking at kind of a – I mean, the Eagles rightfully so would be favored, but to me it would almost be a pick'em game. But if Darnold goes the other way, as you said last week, if he plays like he did last week where he just isn't big enough for the moment, then I don't think they can franchise him. They'd have to look at some other option. So it is a huge game tonight for Sam Darnold and his future with the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, because it would have been, you know, if they would have gone to Detroit and he played pretty good or just played average and they lost, the narrative would not have been like it was this past week. I mean, his extremes have been so extreme, right?
Yep.
He's been a guy we've talked about being in the MVP category, and a week later, I wrote this for a comment. I don't remember seeing a narrative or a storyline about a player flip to this degree where in a span of 7 days, he's being hoisted onto his teammates' shoulders, doused in water.
Right.
The talk of the NFL to be the talk of the NFL in the other way after the Detroit game. And so, yeah, I think this, I, as much as they try to minimize it and not look at the big picture ramifications, and KO's done a good job about, you know, because he lived that experience about not putting too much on one game, I don't know how that you can't. And so this is the rebuttal. This is and I got to be honest with you. We had our normal, you know, weekly chat with him on Thursday this week because of the schedule. But
right,
he seemed loose. He seemed in a good spot. You know, seemed like it wasn't a carryover. But I have no good sense of how he's going to play tonight, Chad. I really don't.
I think they're winning. I really do.
I picked them to win.
I'm surprised by how many people, including your paper and around the country, are picking the Rams. I just think the Vikings are
game. game.
Right. I guess I should say you're exactly right, but I'm trying to look at it for the totality. The Vikings clear-cut have been a better team than the Los Angeles Rams throughout the year. And because you just nailed it on the Darnold roller coaster, you're right. It could be Jacksonville, Sam. It could be Detroit, Sam. I'm not saying it's automatically going to be Green Bay, Sam, but I think number 18 is going to have a big game because he wasn't any good last week, right? I mean, he was open on some that Darnold missed, but, man, they were able to man-to-man him a lot. I think they're going to get pressure on Stafford. I think they have to. You know, just reading about it this weekend, Stafford hasn't been sacked the last four games. That's huge.
Yeah, it's absurd. Yeah, and I do think I have to think that Darnold got the nerves out, right, against Detroit. Because I think a lot of that was just nerves. I think the nerves and the stage and all that, I think it caused his fundamentals to go, you know, sideways on him. It led to a lot of the overthrows. So I think KO probably did a good job of getting him recentered again. I know it's not this simple, but I'm just going to say it. But don't you think that O'Connell will say, okay, what are the five best throws that Darnold could make in his sleep? And let's script those in there in the opening script so he gets in a rhythm, gets some confidence, you know, forgets about last week and just kind of gets settled in because I kept waiting for that last week and he never got settled in. So I think there's going to be an intentional approach tonight to both get him settled in, get the ball in JJ's hands, get the ball in Addison's hands, and so they start quick because if it's a poor start, then all the doubt and anxiety and all that could jump up, you know, tenfold. But I think if they script in plays that this team is really good at, whether it's the dig routes or all those things that they talk about, I think we're going to see that early.
Well, I think that's such a good question, and it's hard to quibble much with O'Connell offensively in these 3 years. But if I'm going to, he does kind of lock in on, I want us to have routes that take a good 3 seconds to develop. And I like that he wants to go down the field 20, 30, 40 yards. This isn't the West Coast offense in any way. And we talk about it to others. It was begging for that to happen last week against Detroit. At some point, second, third quarter, when Darnold is just overwhelmed, flip it out here short to JJ, through to Aaron Jones, to Hockenson, and there was so little of that. So is O'Connell going to adjust, or is he going to stay, I believe in our system, and I think Sam's going to be better, and so I don't have to, in his words, maybe overcorrect to do what seems like a very defendable point that you're making?
Yeah, well, we know his demeanor is aggressive. Like, he wants to stay aggressive. He wants to push the ball down the field. But I will say, I asked Kevin a question this week about Darnold, just how, you know, the first time they had been back in the building since the game and kind of what he noticed from him. And O'Connell said, hey, we all had to have some self-reflection here. So I do wonder if he looked at it as, okay, you know, maybe I made some mistakes there too in the way I approached it, and so let's adjust that. But I think there could be some of that. I also think they need to try to establish the running game because
the
offense was so much more efficient and so much harder to defend when Aaron Jones got going.
Yep.
And so, and I thought they had, I thought that possibility was there against Detroit, and they just kind of went away from it early because of the looks that they were getting with the man coverage. And so I think there'll be, you know, an intentional intentionality about that is trying to get the running game going. And so, you know, I'm curious to see what the atmosphere is like in that arena, in that stadium tonight, because, you know, it's not going to be Detroit. I don't even, is it going to be 50-50? I don't know. I have no idea what the crowd makeup is going to be. But it's not going to be the hostile environment that they saw last week in Detroit. So, yeah, there's going to be the playoff pressure and nerves and all that, but that felt so unique what they walked into last week. So I think there'll be a little bit better chance to kind of get settled into the game tonight. But I am kind of curious to see not only the play calling, but kind of what that environment's like for both teams, really.
The Rams rush defense for the season, 22nd in the league.
Mm.
So not great. Yeah. Not great. All right, let's pause. More on the purple, a little bit at the end on Gopher football and the financial issues they're facing. And it, well, what's your, when do you have to be out? Do you have to be out at 2:30?
Yeah, 2:30.
Okay. All right. We'll do that because this is a day when there's a lot to discuss. How about next week? Let's get you in studio next week and
see. Let's make it work. Yeah. We'll make it work.
Because there'll be plenty still to discuss. Maybe the Vikings, maybe not the Vikings, but there'll be plenty to discuss. Chipper's with us for another 15 here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have an unlimited supply of stats, right, and analytics, and they can tell us anything we want. But in looking at a lot of numbers, preparing for the game and preparing for this segment, there's just a lot of data showing the Vikings in a lot of categories, Chip, in the top 10. You know, not automatically number one, but 8, 9, and then you just look at a lot of categories where the Rams are at. Like I talked about where they're at in rush defense, pass defense, they're 21st. Then you look at where they're at offensively. They're 15th, right? Mm-hmm. Then pass-wise, they're 10th. And rushing-wise, they're 24th. They had a really bad start of the season like they did last year, right? They did the same thing last year, and then they came on, and then they lost that great playoff game to the Lions. They were 1-4. They beat the Raiders, and then they beat the Vikings. And they would kind of take two steps forward, two steps back. They're probably the most notable game late is just a crazy game against the Bills in L.A. where they won 44-42. So my point on this long lead-up is we all thought last week was going to be this right away. It's going to be 21-21 middle of the second quarter. Well, if you want to believe in high-scoring games again, this could be it again because yeah. I think the Vikings are going to have success. And these guys, with the two receivers healthy, with Stafford healthy, with not allowing sacks, they're going to move the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is, I mean, if you look at the, I don't want to throw out the first meeting, but, you know, it's a Thursday night game and all that goes into that. And Brian Flores, you know, acknowledged this week that they really weren't expecting Puka Nacua to play that game. They found out like 3 hours before.
It was rare honesty where he's saying, we were shocked. I feel like that there was a point where neither was going to play. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, okay, Cooper's going to play? Now Puka's going to play. And by the way, that Puka, he is a hell of a wide receiver. Wow, is he.
And he is so big and strong.
Yes, he is.
You know, he is a tough matchup. And so, you know, we'll see if Gilmore draws it or who draws it, but it's a tough matchup. But, you know, but Flores has a week now knowing, okay, who's in and who's out and what, you know, what you're going to see. But this is a veteran group. Matthew Stafford is not going to be rattled by the moment. I mean, this is a guy who's, you know, won a Super Bowl and he's, you know, played in a lot of big games. And so you're not going to rattle him. They just have to disrupt him as much as they can. And you're right, with Puka and Cooper, you got two really talented receivers. They got a good tight end. And so as much as I admire this defense and what Brian Flores does in terms of creativity, you know, this is another big ask, much like it was last week against Detroit. And so the offense is going to have to do their part to – I think not only score, but also establish the run to kind of eat up some of the clock too, and take some of the pressure off the defense. Cause they didn't do that last week and the defense I think by the end just couldn't hold any longer, and they gave up some touchdowns. So, but it has the potential, because think about the wide receivers you just have in this game.
Yes.
Just a big playmaker.
And good tight ends, too. Both of them.
And good tight ends. And so, yeah, they need Hockenson to make some of these contested catches. He had a couple opportunities last week and didn't do it, so he needs to come up big. So I agree. But I just think if I look at the two teams, and I know there's more than this, but I just think the Vikings have a better team.
I agree 1,000%. And the crowd, it's not like, you know, SoFi is just a madhouse. But, man, I think, you know, you alluded to it a little bit before, I think it's going to be fairly neutral. You know, and that has to help these guys.
Yeah, for sure. It's not going to be your typical home game for sure.
No.
So, and I, you know, you get the Snowbirds from Minnesota, and some, I'm sure more people are booked last minute flights to go down there. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But I think in the Star Tribune, we had all the writers pick it. I think I said 24-21. That might be on the low end of points, but I think it's going to be a close game. That's, you know, within 2 or 3 points, but I think the Vikings win.
You know, and just one more thing on the crowd. There's just a lot of people in L.A., Chip, right now are saying, sure, I'd love to go, and it's not that far. I can't. I don't know what is going to happen with our house. I don't know what's happening with my cousin's house, my friend's house, and I can't go. You know, another thing I was thinking about today, if you just ranked the Vikings' best players, like if it's okay, you rank all the wide receivers, you rank everybody, well, Jefferson is... I mean, what is he at worst? The second? You know, it's either him or Chase. Like, you know, right?
Him or Chase. Yeah, 1-2.
Yep. I mean, Darisaw's got to be top five, right?
Five left tackles. Yeah. Even though he's not,
is the one starter they don't have. You think about everything that the Lions are losing. The Vikings are going with 21 of their 22 starters they want to start tonight. And I'm not dismissing Darisaw. Because it's a it's a drop off from Robinson, but Kwesi, bravo for getting him for nothing, because they would have been in deeper trouble. But both of us have watched this way too long. It's not often when you have 14 wins and you have all but one starter in your first playoff game.
I was talking about that. We were out of practice the other day at Suhan. It's like, with Suhan, think about just how remarkably healthy this team has been. Yeah, Darisaw loss was a big one, but then you compare it, hold it up side by side with what the Lions have tried to overcome. And it's some seasons are like this. And guess what? When you have a season like this, you have to maximize it, because know the next one you may have, you know, like they did last year, you may be down to four quarterbacks. So you have to, you, in the NFL, as much as anything, you have to maximize the seasons where you have relatively good health.
I made that point after the Wolves season last year. And I just got assaulted by, you know, a bunch of Wolves homers when I said, appreciate this because it's not guaranteed. And they were like, oh, this guy's young, this guy's young. Yeah, stuff happens. You know,
exactly.
You know, you trade Cat, other guys don't fit, you know. So if it's a Vikings playoff game, you can't eliminate the kicker from being right in the middle of it, right? And at the start of the, you know, until he gets hurt, he was as good as anybody.
Yeah.
But it's been a bit of a roller coaster. So I don't know when, but I'm guaranteed at some point tonight.
It was all going so well until you went there.
At some point tonight, there's going to be some Will Reichert pucker factor. Guaranteed. I don't know when, but he just looks like the guy who's shown up to hang out with your college, you know, buddy, your college son, right? I mean, and all of a sudden he's going to go out there and – maybe it's going to be 3 of 3, but I wouldn't feel confident.
Did you see the Washington kicker last night messing with his hair? He made me nervous.
Yeah.
He kept taking off his helmet and combing his hair. I was like, what is going on here? He's making me nervous doing this.
Okay, so I'm going to jump in to help you here. I read about him. I guess he has really bad OCD.
Clearly, if something was going on.
I mean, because you could say, was he just nervous? But he's got an issue. But if Will's doing all that tonight, that would be a concern. Okay, before you go, I want to talk just briefly Gopher football and basketball before you go.
Sure.
So Gopher football, you know, they lose one great defense coordinator, and then they get another, and they were really good defensively. And it's, why am I blanking? Is it Corey?
Heatherman.
Yep. And so, month ago, Looked like he's going to maybe go to Rutgers, and they sign him for $1.2 million. That's pretty darn good money. With a $600,000 buyout, so you're thinking, well, at least at minimum, you got him for a year.
Well,
you had him for a month because he's off to Miami. You know, it's just the financial stuff in college sports, because we're going there with men's basketball in a second. But, he, you know, they don't pay. They're near the bottom in paying assistants. It's crazy to think. Near the bottom, and you're paying a defense coordinator $1.2 million, and that Miami is willing to pay the $600,000 buyout and pay him. Have you seen the number yet? It's got to be like $2 million, right?
It's got to be high ones, I'm guessing. It's got to be significant raise. I think as USA Today ranked their coach's salary pool the lowest in the Big Ten.
Yep.
In college sports, you never want to be last in anything, right?
We'll
say that. So they have some work to do there. But I also, I thought they were creative. Not only did they give him a substantial raise, they elevated that buyout where they thought they were getting some protection because they're thinking, okay, $600,000 is going to do it. Well, Miami just spent $5 million to get a quarterback.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
They don't care about money.
They just brought in Carson Beck, who, you know what, was very good for Georgia. He might not have been as great as people wanted, but you're exactly right. They just wrote a $4 or $5 million check. It's just craziness right now.
It's got to be deflating and defeating at times when you lose a player, lose a coach, where you think you did the right thing by giving a raise and raise the buyout, and you think you got something going, and all of a sudden you don't. Now you're starting over with, and that's not to say it sounds like they're going to promote Danny Collins, the secondary, who I'm a big fan of. I think Danny's, you look at what they've done with their safeties and sending guys to the NFL and development.
Yep.
But he's going to be a first-time play caller. We don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say this. We didn't know much about Heatherman coming here last year either, and he turned out to be pretty good. So it's not to say you can't find guys, but it's just the cycle of losing guys that are going to other places for more money. That's just hard to swallow, and it's something they got to figure out. Is it they're going to have to address the assistant coach's salary pool. But guess what? Now this fall, you're going to be able to pay athletes up to $21 million.
Unbelievable.
Where's that money going to come from?
Well, let's transition that with men's Gopher basketball, and say if it's just as a human, Ben Johnson, they don't get much better than Ben Johnson. He's just a great person. Do I know yet if Ben Johnson is a average, good, great, poor college basketball coach? I don't. I don't think he's poor, but I do know there's no momentum right now. I do know if Christie comes back, by the way, Marcus was talking about, well, it's an automatic good decision for him. He's playing the G League. Okay, so I don't know if that's automatically a great decision. So I don't agree with Marcus in his story about that. He loses the two guys to, Texas Tech for a half mil.
Yeah.
And they're just restarting again. And I get it that Coyle, the very invisible Mark Coyle, is he still around? Does he pop up for Groundhog Day? I mean, man, he's invisible. That I don't fault anybody for saying, where are we going? But criticism is just. But until they get a lot more money, and there isn't a lot more money with men's basketball. There just isn't.
No.
Idea that star coaches are waiting to come in, or star coaches can keep guys if they're offered $500,000, it's not going to happen.
Well, that's the problem they're stuck in now. Now, I do think that football NIL made up a lot of ground, and they're in a pretty good spot there.
Yes.
Always could be better, but they're in a much better spot for football NIL than
way better in basketball.
But the thing is, you can't keep start. There's fluidity in college basketball, unlike any of the other sports in terms of guys that move around. But if you're constantly starting over with 7, 8 new guys, and your entire nucleus changes every year, you're going to miss on some of these transfers, and it's just going to be hard to sustain and build and get any kind of continuity as much as, as hard as it already is with guys transferring. But I agree with you, and we said this a lot with Zimmer. Where's this going?
Yep.
And where's the hope? And you look around at the arena, and there's, a couple thousand people, then people aren't going to the games. And you have the situation like the other night against Ohio State where the player – loses track of what the score is, and he does an intentional foul when you're up 2. That's the kind of thing that you just can't have.
Mm-mm. You can't. They play Friday night. And I wonder how many sports fans knew the Gophers were playing the Badgers Friday night.
Yeah, probably not many.
That's
the diehards. They have a lot of soul searching to do, and a lot of figuring out financials to do with that program, because they're way behind NIL.
Way behind. All right, my man. Be well, and we'll see you next week, and we'll stay in touch.
Do it in person. We'll
absolutely
do it in person.
Fabulous.
Sorry, brother.
Chip Scoggins. It's 2:34. We have two gym workout related topics. One is lighter. One is, Dave and I both saw a story in Wall Street Journal that the diehard workout people are saying, it's January 13th. All you buffoons who do your regular resolutions, when are you quitting? I want to be able to get back in here easy. And then the story that Dave found, that 75% of women change their outdoor exercise routines in winter because they don't feel safe. What a sad statement that is. So one lighter, one serious, tied to workouts. We'll cover that, lead up to DeRusha at the top of the hour here on CCO.